Oh, shit, I just got the dog. Dude, all right, so I noticed something the other day.
Okay.
That, like, according to, like, life insurance and banking commercials, or not life insurance, but, like, business insurance and stuff,
right.
That I would say, according to the way those commercials ran, at least 60% of small businesses consist of women either blowing glass or shaping clay.
Wait, what?
Like, you know when they have like a
business commercial?
Get a small business loan.
Yeah.
It's always some girl with like that scene from Ghost trying to shape the pottery, or some other girl with like protective eye goggles melting, like blowing glass. And it's just like, I think there's only six of those businesses in the whole country.
All women, they don't do like finance business. They all do crafts.
Yeah, they're all Etsy owners, you know? And it's just like, there's got to be a broader audience that you guys could target.
Yeah, no, I think it just kind of ends there, clearly. I mean, that's all they're willing to finance. If they want to go to any type of retail business or finance operations or whatever, we're not down with that. But if you blow glass, oh, we're fucking in.
We got your welcome to the Charles Schwab family. Yeah, how do you say that?
Charles Schwab.
Anyways, let's, kicking the bass.
Herschel Weisser.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to Pound Town.
Pound Town.
We're going to Pound Town.
Yeah.
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Oh man, feeling right, feeling good.
Hell yeah.
Feeling right, feeling good. That might be because of the Red Bull I took. Oh, definitely feeling tight.
You took a Red Bull?
I feel 18 again. I'm so fucking tired, bro.
Dude, that 1 hour shift fucked me up today.
A Red Bull?
No, the 1 hour shift. The time change? My eyes are all
Oh, I normally look all fucked up. Yeah, then people are like, oh man, are you okay? They looked at the time change got you. And I was like, fuck you. I look like this all the time.
Yeah, we're not the two handsome guys we were last episode.
Things have changed. The world has turned. Hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast presented by Stars and Street Lamps, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kicking your face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow and get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name's Imagine, and joining me as always, the original inspiration for Razor Ramon Motion.
Oh, I love it, dude. I was a huge fan, man.
Yeah, dude.
I can't wait. You know what? I'm going to get his comic. I'm going to get something signed by him at Comic-Con this year.
What? I don't think you can, dude.
What do you mean?
Razor Ramon was just taken off life support, bro.
No!
Yeah, man. Taking off life support. I mean, that's just kind of, he was kind of having some health troubles for a while. So, you know, just
for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. But, for those of us, I mean, we grew up fucking watching, you know, this was back when WWF, this one, it still had the F.
Yeah. Yeah. Before the panda stole it.
Before the panda came in and said, nah, fuck that. I'm the realist.
I owe the F.
Scott Hall, otherwise known as Razor Ramon. He unfortunately passed away today at 63.
You know, the only good thing about him dying is at least for one day we didn't have to hear about shit Ukraine for a day.
You know, you're not wrong. He suffered a broken hip and a fall earlier this month and underwent surgery, and then it evolved into an issue involving blood clots, and that had him having 3 different heart attacks, and he was placed on life support.
Just from being a wild boy.
Hey, man, that's how it goes when you live life as the bad guy.
Yeah, no shit. Do you have a favorite Razor Ramon memory? I have a specific memory.
I don't have a specific memory. I just remember, like, this guy just just fucking absolute machismo confidence. Like, fuck you. I'm Razor Ramon. Who the fuck do you think you are? It's like, damn, this guy, like,
yeah,
you kind of want to, like, you aspire to ooze that much kind of fucking self-love and confidence. I haven't seen this type of confidence since like Kanye. Well, you know, flipping around, you know, you like Kanye was like super into himself and shit and overconfident. But yo, before Kanye, there was Razor Ramon.
Yeah. The memory is, it was a WrestleMania and Bret Hart, you know, now that, like, well, I walked my way through this. I think he was kind of like the original Tony Soprano because it was like the first time we voted for the villain.
Okay. But yeah.
Bret Hart, like, came out and he, like, gave a kid his sunglasses, you know, and it's like this wholesome moment. Oh my God, the Hitman Hart gave me those, you know, those, like, sunglasses he used to wear, the visor looking ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Razor Ramon comes out and he takes his toothpick and he finds the kid that got the sunglasses and just fucking throws it at that same kid. I was like, dude, how great is that, dude?
That's fucking awesome. But I've been
What's even greater? What if, you know, because back then we thought it was like, we knew it wasn't real, but we thought it was real.
Yeah.
But like, how funny would it be with what we know about it now if like Bret Hart was in on it? He's like, hey, dude, about 25 kids up, look to the left. I'm going to find somebody, give them my glasses, then you get them with the toothpick right after.
Just fuck them up.
Imagine that behind the scene thought. Like, that would be pretty cool.
I would love, yeah, just to be present in that conversation. And he's just kind of like, wait, you're going to do what? the kids are gonna love it, man. But yeah, as I've been watching social media for the past few hours, because it's really just happened today. I've been seeing this quote floating around, and I'm just like, man, that's some shit. This is some Razor Ramon shit. Hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. Razor Ramon.
Jesus, yo, dude.
That's some fucking, this motherfucker's spitting.
Isn't it weird though that he went from like such a like a Hispanic character, you know, Razor Ramon?
Yeah.
And he really was. He had like the curls and all that. And he really was like, what was he? Was he island Puerto Rican?
I don't know.
He was
from Cuban? Miami.
Oh, Miami. Also probably Cuban.
Yeah, maybe, sure.
Of Cuban ethnicity, I mean.
Yeah.
But then when you found out his real name and when he went to NWO and it was like, it's Scott Hall. Oh, come on, man.
Like, wait a minute. No.
I've been bamboozled.
You need to officially change your name to Razor Ramon, or at the very next least, keep the Ramon. You're gonna tell
me, yeah. Next thing you know, Gold Dust isn't a tranny. Come on, man.
I'm out. I am out of here. I can't do this no more.
You remember Gold Dust?
I remember Gold Dust. Yeah. That was in the Attitude Era.
Crazy about him, his dad was, you know, a great wrestler. And then to me, Goldust was a great wrestler too. And his son now is a great wrestler. But he's the only one that had to be like, he was in that 90s era where you had to be like, you had to have a real
stick.
Even more so gimmick.
Yeah, yeah, he had a real going. So he had Goldust, and now he has a kid. Is his name Gold Nugget?
No, I think that's Cody Rhodes. Oh, I think. Okay. If I'm not mistaken. And he had like started his own wrestling thing and just went back to WWE. I hope. I'm you know, I was a wrestling fan when I was a kid. I haven't been as an adult, so I hope nobody's, you know, there might be a listener somewhere.
Yeah, that's why I always tell people, like, oh, you like world wrestling? I'm like, I was Attitude Era. And immediately people know what you're talking about. And that's it. Like, as soon as you get to like John Cena, nah, out.
Oh, yeah, dude. When you said you can't see me, you said, I'm not even trying, bro. I'm done. who was like your favorite wrestler of that generation, like, of when you grew up?
Oh, people, I get that question every once in a while, and it's a toss-up between Stone Cold and Triple H.
Yeah?
I was a huge Degeneration X fan.
I remember Triple H when he was still Hunter Helmsley, and he had, like, a crown and all that, so I didn't ever get into him in DX.
Yeah.
But I did love X-Pac.
Yeah.
Did you see, recently, two basketball coaches for a college game? So one of the coaches did something kind of dirty, like a timeout in a certain time of the game where they didn't need to. They were already ahead, something like that, right?
Sure.
And then so then when they were doing like the shake your hands thing, the other coach, the offended coach, didn't shake that coach's hand. So that coach turned around, walked away, and he did the DX
suck it.
Other coach. And then a small kerfuffle broke out. Like the players went after the coach. But I was like, over the suck it?
That was a huge. I mean, that was like the middle finger of the era.
Yeah, but
there was nothing more offensive than telling someone to suck it, man.
But to bring it out now, if you did that, if we were in a heated exchange and you did that to me, it would be humorous to me. I'd be like, oh my God, why are we even arguing? That's hilarious. Who was your favorite DX member? You know, like,
unless they were of that era and they still carry that offensiveness.
Well, to me,
how dare you, sir, tell me to suck it?
That's where the what's that called when you reminisce? Like, not homage, but anyways, that's where the I'm being pathetic. I know the word, but anyways, it's, you know, like when you remember with silliness to it, like I couldn't take that. Now back then, that would get cathartic? You in the dick. Cathartic. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for stopping by.
See, we worked it out. Dude, what am I going to do without you when I'm in a job interview or something?
Cathartic. Yeah. What do you meant to say, sir?
Yeah. He's like, you have cartilage? No, he meant.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out Razor Ramon. Anyway. And it's been a wild ride with the wrestling.
Yeah.
But shit, man. How was your weekend?
It was great. Went to go see a Mana cover band.
Oh, a Mana cover band. Are they called Mañana?
No, they were Corazón de Maná. Mañana. Mañanita.
Yeah, yeah.
Same, that was cool. Different. And I saw that we saw that Santa Fe Springs swap meet. So
cover bands are there.
Dude, well, so I grew up going to that swap meet like way before it was like a venue. Like they used to play on the concrete. Then they built them a stage. Yeah. Now it's like a venue.
Really?
Yeah, it's really nice, dude. You should make it out there sometime. But
I need some socks.
I know that this will be the last time that I'll be going in a while, you know? So it was like, it was carthitic. It was cathartic.
Yep.
Jokingly saying it made me fuck up how to say it again for real. And then Saturday we did something. Oh, I got a huge thing that happened this weekend.
Oh, what's that?
So Saturday, me and the widow one went golfing.
Oh, nice. Mini golfing or actual golfing?
Golfing.
Nice.
I took the widow one, golfing. But it was one of those, like the course you and I played, like a 9-hole par 3. Nothing big.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one of the holes, dude, it was on the 6th hole at Van Buren Drive, Van Buren Golf Course. He, off the tee, it's 150 yards. Off the tee, he gets right next to 150-yard marker, and he's about 12 feet from the pin.
Nice.
10-year-old.
Nice.
Okay? Blows my mind, dude. So I go to take a picture of him with the pin, him standing over the ball with his pitching iron now, and then the 150 marker right next to him. I take the picture. I go to send it to my dad. Like, look, I thought I took a picture of his best off the tee hit. So I'm like, I look down now. I'm not paying attention to him. He's like, dad. I'm like, yo, what's up? I look up. He's like, I made it. One shot, I made it.
Missed
so the
it.
Kid fucking he birdied a par 3 at 10 years old.
Oh man, we're so fucked,
dude. We're raging, dude. He was chugging Gatorades. I had a tall can. We was doing backflips off the golf cart like that one NASCAR driver. And I was like freaking out, dude. And I couldn't. So I fucked up. I was like, dude, you hit a birdie. And he's like, I hit a bird. I'm like, no, you didn't hit a bird. And so it became like I had to like. He wasn't proud of it, you know? He was like, oh, my God, I think I hit a bird.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not what happened, baby. So I call my brother. I go, Mikey, I need you to explain to this kid how cool it is what he did. And then my brother, like, in his, like, always calm and stoic manner, he goes, well, let me tell you how awesome what you did is. My friend is 35 years old. He just hit his first one 2 weeks ago. What? And then so it's like, Des is like, well, that doesn't really say anything about how great what I did. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, so you got.
I need context.
Yeah. So I called my dad. We went through it like to everybody. Everybody was just like, dude, that's great. So I have the picture of right before his first birdie. And I took a picture of him at the pin holding the flag with his first birdie. So yeah, it was phenomenal. That was Saturday. Freaking... Oh, dude, we came back. Like, I dropped him. We were jumping up and down. Like, it just made our day, dude. It was rad.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
And I did see Batman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Batman. Dope.
Have you seen Batman yet?
Yes. I finally made time to go see it. I was avoiding spoilers and all the shit. And
okay.
Made time to do it. It's cool.
Let's talk loosely without... If there's a spoiler, we'll make sure we give you a heads up. If you're a fan of Batman and movies, you can listen to this conversation. Nothing will be given away.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, until we say...
Sure.
All right.
I just want to say that watching Batman was a better way of spending 3 hours in a movie theater than it was in Titanic.
I don't know, dude. I was making out with this girl in seventh grade. I had like crush on her. And okay. So the way you say that,
the Batman is way better on double cassette.
Since you already mentioned how long it is, and this is the first time that I regretted not checking a movie's length before watching it.
Because we kept thinking it should
be over in 10 minutes. It'll be over soon.
Yeah.
It'll be over, you know?
Yeah, every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think the ending's coming up. They're wrapping it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a good girlfriend. It had multiple climaxes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, there'll be a resolution. Nope. Another climax. There'll be a resolution. Nope. Another climax. I thought it was annoyingly long, but I think that was because I didn't know going into it how long it was.
Yeah.
You know? It was just criticisms. It was super dark, not as in like emotional.
Yeah.
It was just genuinely filmed in the black.
I cannot fucking see. That's what you were going for.
Yeah, kinda. It was so dark.
Yeah.
Like the whole movie.
Well, I mean, he is in the shadows, right? I am the shadows.
Yeah.
I'm Vengeance.
I decided I'm going to start calling my body the Vengeance.
Are you ready for the Vengeance?
Overall, did you like it?
I loved it.
Really?
I thought, here's the thing, though. Immediately, people are going to be comparing it to The Dark Knight.
No.
Automatically, like the gold standard of Batman. Well, it's not as good as The Dark Knight. And that's what my brother said. My brother was like, I hated it. I'm like, if you hated it, I'm probably going to love it. And I did. I thought it was awesome. I love the whole, the broodiness and like, just I guess the darkness, the tone.
Yeah.
And it felt uncomfortable. It just felt unpolished.
That was my favorite thing about the Joker, the movie, The Joker.
Okay. Yeah.
Like even it was shot uncomfortable. Like there were weird angles.
Right.
Yeah. Like you're looking down from a staircase and it's just like, ew. Like this isn't how we're used to seeing movies. And I agree. That did take place in this film as well.
Yeah. For that reason, I really liked it. I love the investigative aspect of it. It wasn't just like gadgets and blowing shit up and fighting. There was actual detective work involved. And I was like, okay, I dig that shit too. It was cool, man.
I caught myself trying to answer the riddles out loud.
Shut
I'm up. Like, oh, and everybody looks at me. I'm like, oh, my bad.
I get it.
So I felt like they had almost a really good mobster movie up until there was a turning point to me where I felt like they didn't have a good resolution designed and they kind of muscled their way through what they had. And I don't want to say what the turning point was on the show because I don't want people to be like, oh, this is where, you know, motion thinks it gets bad or whatever. But in general, I think like, it was really good. It was, to me, it was really good. And then it ended up good.
So
yeah, kind of the end just kind of.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, when you take it separate side by side from Dark Knight, and when I compare it to the gold standard, I would say it's probably up there with like Batman Returns. Because I think Batman Returns is my second favorite of the Batman movies. It's Dark Knight and then Batman Returns.
It's Dark Knight then Batman Returns? Not the Dark Knight trilogy then Batman Returns?
No, just the Dark Knight.
Okay.
Not even the trilogy. Just that one movie, The Dark Knight, and then Batman Returns. And then I would have to watch Batman Returns and The Batman side by side and see which one would eke out.
The original The Batman with Michael Keaton?
No. That was just called Batman.
Which one's The Batman?
That one's Robert Pattinson.
Oh, okay, this one, okay.
That's this one.
Okay. Yeah.
The Batman is with Robert Pattinson, and just Batman was Michael Keaton.
So Robert Pattinson acted his ass off. I don't think he acted as like the Batman that I would necessarily would like, but he followed the script. Maybe I didn't agree with their perspective of the Batman. But of my like criticism of Robert, every other actor in that movie, absolutely phenomenal. None as good as the Riddler. That dude acted his ass off. And I looked up who it was because, you know.
Yeah, Paul Dano.
Dude. I mean, that kid's been killing movies for 10, 15 years now.
Yeah, he's fucking fun. He was in The Girl Next Door.
There Will Be Blood.
Remember The Girl Next Door?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Neil Hirsch. Yeah, yeah. He was part of the fucking tripod.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, dude. That's where I know him from. I used to watch the movie all the time.
I know him from There Will Be Blood. And then also, I think he was the one in, is it Hostage? Or what's that one? The one with Wolverine?
With Wolverine?
Yeah, but it's not Wolverine. It's the guy.
Oh, Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. Where they, like, someone kidnaps his kid.
Swordfish? Anyway,
no, that's John Travolta. Oh,
that was, you know, Hugh Jackman. Was
huh? Turturro. I love Turturro. I'm a huge Turturro fan.
Oh, John Turturro. Yeah, he played the mobster dad. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I see him in something, I'm like, all right, you already.
I'm in.
Just give him that picture.
It was good, man. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. I would say, yeah, top three Batman movies for sure. But the funny thing is when I was watching the movie, I kept thinking to myself, like, oh, this would have been dope if it was Ben Affleck. Oh, that would have been dope if it was Ben Affleck. I could totally see this movie as a Ben Affleck Batman movie. And I might get, you know, some flack for that. But I really enjoyed fucking Ben Affleck as Batman. So I would be totally mad at it. I thought it would have been really good as a Ben Affleck Batman movie as well.
I didn't see that one. So I don't know. I want to mention something about a scene. It's not a spoiler alert, but if you're afraid you don't want to hear about a specific scene, it's not, again, a spoiler alert. It's just something that they filmed that got kind of weird to me. There's a part where the Batman gets injured. It has to do with the bridge. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. That to me was like them trying to compete with Marvel. It was like, because he's still just a man.
Oh yeah. He should have died.
That's what I'm saying. Thanks. So when I saw that, I was just like, it was one thing. It was the worst part of cinematography in the whole movie.
Yeah.
It
was pretty bad.
Looked almost cartoony.
Yeah, it did.
But then it was just like the whole thing about Batman, our appreciation of him is that, look, we don't respect billionaires, but he's a dude. So like the cool thing is when Bane is fucking him up, he's getting fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, like, or, you know, even whoever it is, you know. But that Bane fight in that last one was, to me, phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
But when that happened, that threw me for a loop. Because I was just like, okay, now you guys, I feel like you don't understand Batman.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know what I mean? That.
When that shit happened, me and Daisy were just like, oh, it's fine. Just walk it off. Walk it off. He's fine. Yeah, that's what he did. Up. And I was like, okay.
It'd be
okay,
so funny if they had him do that Japanese kick up. The springboard.
But it's funny because like his Batman mask, it was just like leather. It wasn't like any like protective shit in it. So yeah, that was pretty jump to sharkish.
To me, yeah.
Yeah. But overall, I dug it. I would definitely recommend it. Good times.
Yeah, I really
dug the Nirvana shit. You like the Nirvana shit along with it?
Yeah.
That was fucking nice.
Yeah, that was great.
The score was dope. Great. Yeah.
But here's the thing. It started with that song. And then when they played it again, I go, oh, this must be the end.
And there's another fucking... another hour.
Like, oh, great. It's almost done.
Yeah, yeah. They're bringing back the theme song. Oh, wait. Yeah. No, we're sticking around. Okay, fantastic. Nope. All right. Cool.
Nope. Yeah. That was great to use that. All right. Because it's still a mainstream Nirvana song, but it's kind of obscure.
It's an obscure because it's off the Nevermind album, so everyone knows the Nevermind album. But
yeah, it's one of those like radio played.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a deep cut, as they call it.
Did you ever hear? I think it's called Lounge Act by Nirvana.
Lounge Act.
I think that's what it was called. It was on Xbox's Skate. Yeah, Xbox. Or maybe no PlayStation?
Nope. Skate. I stopped at N64. Everything post that, you lost me.
You know what? I did too, except for, remember I told you, I'm sure I've talked about this before. I made a deal with my little brother because my little brother had a deal with his dad that if you can raise half the money for the new system,
I'll pay
the other half. For the
new. Yep.
So I would buy his old system off him. So like the new Xbox would come out and he'd be like, Bobby, it's $300. Dad said he'll pay half. And I go, okay, but I get your old one, all the games, all the controls. So I'd get like $1,200 worth of shit for $150. And then we didn't care because we're not up on video games. We just would get drunk and play video games at night.
That's just
So that's how I got all my video games.
That's a come up.
And him. Yeah, that's how I felt for both of us.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
But I was introduced to that song by that video game. And I believe it is called Lounge Act by Nirvana. Phenomenal song. Give it a goog.
Yeah, I'm totally worth it. Goggle it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is that, you remember that movie Role Models?
I saw that once. That was with Paul Rudd, right?
Yeah. You only saw that once?
I only saw it once.
There's that like nerdy camp counselor that they always fuck with, and he's playing a song, and I think he thinks it's by Wings or what, that band Wings. And then Paul Rudd's like, no, they don't sing that. And he's like, pretty sure they do. He's like, no, you don't. He's like, I'm gonna have to Google it.
I'm gonna have to Google it. Nice. Speaking of Google, things we're talking about on the internet, I came across an article talking about TikTok. Love me some TikTok. So I came across a headline. I was like, this is interesting. TikTok parents are loving this potty mouth mom's reason for letting her kid cuss around the house. So I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. So she's talking about how she allows her kid just to fucking have at it when she's at the house.
Okay.
And how most instances they're like, oh, you can't say that. So I have her TikTok right here. I'm going to play it so everyone can hear it. And then we'll break it down for you.
Okay.
Shit, I forgot something.
What did you just say? You are far too young to be using cuss words. You know better than that. Come on, Evs. There's no cussing in this house unless I'm doing it. Are you okay? Do you need any help? Thank you for remembering to only use swear words when it's just you and I home. For more than one reason, and mostly because I'm a potty mouth and I don't want to stop swearing, we have rules that our daughter can swear when we're home alone. She gets to graze in the pasture, but we have a nice fence around it in which she needs to stay. We don't use swear words to disrespect people. We don't use swear words to call people names, and we only swear when we're at the house. But you got to do what works for you and your family.
Okay, so she's talking about you can swear at home for the kids, but there's rules for swearing at home. And she's talking about, again, and this is Nick, I'm not mansplaining. I'm just simply recapping the video because motion didn't hear shit. You can't use offensive language against people. You can't disrespect people. And then you can't use swear language specifically directed at someone, saying, like, President Donald Trump's a bitch. Can't do that. And then you can't say, hey, you're a bitch, because that's directed at someone.
Yeah.
And then you can't say, fuck, when company is over. But otherwise, if it's just us at home, fucking have at it, bitch.
All right. I kind of look. Here's the problem with that. There's two things. One is you're creating a lot of pressure and anxiety on a child to know those rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the, like, ability to say fuck and then to have to know to not say it when company's over, that's got to make a kid a little anxious.
Okay.
Like, to this day, as an adult, like, when my grandma's in the room, and I'm like, hey, don't be. And I'm telling, you know, the answer is myself, obviously.
Yeah.
But that creates a little, like, hey, you know, make sure. Or, I mean, not just my grandma, like, certain people that I can't really name right now because I'm usually myself. But...
God, you listening?
Yeah. And well, the other thing, one was, it's a lot of attention to know the rules.
But y'all don't say that.
I don't know. I guess that's it. Yeah, so I think I've said before, my policy on it to my children was that those are adult words. And when you have adult frustrations, use them. But if I feel like you're wrong, you're going to be punished.
Right.
Oh, I got so much homework to do tomorrow. Fuck. Guess what? It's not an adult problem. Adults don't have homework to do tomorrow. That's not an adult stressor. That's a kid stressor. You don't get to use the adult word for that.
Interesting. I'm going to say I disagree on both points. I think when with the anxiety things, like, I gotta be mindful of who, when I can say it, when I can't say it. That's a really great tool to learn time and place.
Or responsibility.
There's always time and place for things. And a great example is that is when you can say fuck out loud. You're at home, you're like, ah, fuck. Or you stub your toe, you're like, fuck. You know, okay, that's understandable. Okay, I get that. But if you're just out in the world and you just yell out, fuck, it's like, hey, man, time and place, bro. Like, you can't just be doing that in Target, man. People are looking at us. They're judging us. No. We're classy in Target. You can't do that.
Yeah, this ain't Walmart.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say then, secondly, if you are adult problems, kid problems, what have you, adult situations, I mean, their situations, I would feel, are their situations. And if they feel that in a specific word specifically articulates their frustration, and sometimes, you know, just a good son of a bitch, this really captures the frustration or the sentiment of what it is you're trying to capture. Because usually I'm not a huge fan of cuss words. I think they're just filler words. But then at the same time, they're also, they really capture.
They nail it, right?
They nail it, and other words can't nail it. So sometimes it really is just appropriate.
Well, here's my response to that. So I like the levity of the word. And as a child, sometimes I think you don't, and I know I'm not one to speak of levity because I fucking cuss all the time. So my cuss words are way watered down. But as a child, I don't think you understand the levity of the word. Plus, I think you diminish a path to being more articulate.
Okay.
Like, I need you to find other words to use in place of that word until you can appreciate the levity of what it is. Because homework isn't son of a bitch shit.
What?
Having to complete the fucking, you know, the logistics report to make sure every truck gets where it should be tomorrow.
What?
That's fuck.
What?
You know, or you worked in customer service for so many years. One of your employees actually fucks up. And as much as you like the customer to be wrong, you're like, fuck, now I got to throw something out. That's what not a book fuck? Report tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's real world problems. And if you're saying fuck to the book report, what do you got when it comes to the real world shit?
I mean, that's true. But if you can, again, if you can.
Also, though, that might be the time to be more articulate. Just as I walk myself through my own idea.
It's a great time to be articulate when you're writing a book report. You just read a fucking book full of words.
No, I meant the customer service moment. Maybe you shouldn't be saying fuck. Maybe that's the opportunity to be articulate.
I mean, time and place. But there have been so many customer service interactions when just like a straight, the fuck are you talking about, would just really capture the moments.
Yeah.
Or, you know, with all due respect, madam, go fuck yourself with that request.
Oh,
it just really captures it, drives it home. Solid.
What are we, RFO? I can't remember.
LMFAO?
LMFAO? No, it's FRO.
Oh.
It's FRO. We got something mean, something homie say. We just say FRO, like we're like someone else has been around us. We'll FRO, and to us that means fuck the write off.
Fuck the write off.
Yeah, like just get the fuck out of here, dude.
Support that. Yeah, so that's what I brought to the table today was cuss words and how it articulates the proper situation, and it captures it so well.
Did you see the one? I think it was a TikTok or an Instagram video of the little girl's like, "Mom, can I cuss? Mom, can I cuss? Can I cuss, Mom?"
Yeah.
And she's like, and the mom's like on her phone. She's like, "Yeah, go ahead." And like not really paying attention. Fuck you, you fucking bitch.
Yeah.
I had a quick question.
Oh, quick question. Okay, I'm with it. Yep.
Wouldn't it be funny if the word elbow started with an A?
Elbow.
Yeah, elbow. I just feel like it's a funny word.
Elbow.
Yeah, elbow.
This okay. So what brought this thought about, like, what are you doing, where were you, what?
I don't know exactly. But it's in my notepad. I can't tell you. I don't remember the origination of the thought.
I don't know where I was, but I did have a eureka moment.
No, a month ago, and I know that these, well, maybe they were subconsciously, but a month ago I had an idea in my head. Not an idea, I'm sorry, I watched a video of Patrice O'Neal.
Patrice
and he was talking
O'Neal.
About
unique,
yeah, you know
unique.
Patrice is?
No.
Okay, Patrice was this phenomenal comedian. He's like a kind of a big black dude. I guarantee if you saw a picture of him, you would know exactly who he is. But he passed away of like diabetes at like 43.
Okay.
Because that's how the government kills black people. So he had this whole bit where he picked a certain word, and I can't remember. I'm telling you, I watched it like half asleep, half awake. And he picked a certain word, and there was a synonym for the word. But he didn't use the synonym because the synonym was like a smooth word. And I think it had like a U-A-N-E or something like that, or U-A-N-C-E.
Okay.
And he said, fuck that. Consonants are funnier. So the word he picked ended in like a U-C-K. But okay. It wasn't fuck. It wasn't upset. But he picked that word on purpose because he feels like sharp consonants are funnier.
That's true.
I think that stemmed in my head. Like, there's certain words that work funnier than others. Tracy, the I'ma get you pregnant.
Yeah.
He had a whole like breakdown about that he would work through, and like he had the message, he had the punchline, but one word always hit harder than the other word. And then he would try to find the chain of those words that people would just like the laugh would grow.
Nice. It really is a science.
Yeah, so so I think those were swirling in my head when I said elbow starts with an A.
I think the whole consonant piece really does drive a point home. Cause I think when we were not too long ago, a few episodes ago, we were talking about the word cunt.
Yeah.
And you know, I saved that one. That one's in my back pocket when I really want to cut someone deep with a word.
Yeah.
I bust that one out. Cause that one, that hurts. Everything yeah. else like motherfucker. It just rolls off so softly. It doesn't cut. So when you want to like really insult someone, call them a cunt.
Yeah.
It's my go-to. Like, well, I save that one. That's special. If I get you with that, ooh, I'm really upset with you.
Like Tracy says, I'm going to tell people you're my biological father. And I feel like biological is the word.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what word I started using?
Oh, like, there you go.
I know what mesothelioma is. I know how you get it, but I use it for everything.
Oh,
like
no.
If somebody sneezes by me, I'm like, oh, this bitch is going to give me mesothelioma. Because that's a funny word, dude.
I remember, I think it was Geico that did like a fucking commercial on like words like kumquat, masticates, or some confident. Shit like that. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, it really does make a difference. Yeah.
I'm going through my where are we at on time?
Oh, we got plenty of time. 37.
Okay, cool. So you and I kind of had this conversation, and I wasn't committed to it when I sent it to you, but you gave me some great responses.
Nice.
I had been watching the Kanye documentary.
Oh, I'm about to finish it.
Have you seen it?
It's a poor fall from grace.
But you've seen it.
It reminds me a lot of Michael Jackson. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so I got more respect for him from that. I kind of wish I didn't watch it while what's going on right now did, but this isn't about Kanye. What this is about is that whole series, he was fighting being a producer artist.
Right.
He just wanted to be known as a rapper, even though he was a great producer.
Right.
And he didn't want to quit producing. He just didn't want people to be like, oh man, you're a great producer and rapper. Because he felt like he was competing against other people who are just rappers.
Yeah, I'm just as good as just rappers. Yeah.
Exactly. So I felt the other way. I feel like it's a compliment. But I saw his point.
Yes.
But then I started thinking, who are great producer artists?
Yeah.
And I wanted to make a top five, which, I mean, come on, dude. There's thousands of them.
Yeah.
And prematurely and briefly, my top five was Dre,
Quincy Jones,
Kanye, yeah, and then Reznor and Pharrell.
Yeah.
And that was just off the bat.
Yeah.
And you hit me back with some good ones, and then another friend hit me back with some other ones. Like my other homeboy, I don't think it was you, I think it was my other homeboy, was like Prince. How could you leave Prince out of that?
That was fucking me. Oh, yeah, I own Prince.
That was you? Okay,
yeah,
sorry, no, sorry.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, fucking Prince. Dude, he wrote his own music, and he performed the shit out of it. Oh, yeah, fucking Prince.
Yeah. So, but how do you feel? Okay, what about that five? And then who would you pull, or who do you agree with? Or where would you put Prince? Would you put... I genuinely believe Dre is number one.
I, I, He had two solid albums.
What, the two Chronics?
Yeah, Chronic 2001 and the Chronic.
And then the
and then Kanye would just fucking hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
So I would put Kanye above Dre for sure.
But the thing is, Kanye, I don't put his raps up with Dre's.
Are you talking about, are you saying artist? You're going about bar for bar.
Producer and artist. It has to be a combo.
I know. So I'm going with producer artist. Kanye has the producing credits and he has the artist credits. Dre has the producing credits, no doubt. But he also has a couple artist credits. Yeah, he has a few.
I think Dre has more producing credits than Kanye because he's produced more other, well, Kanye has other people too. I'm sorry. Not to deny that. Not that he's just, but Dre's raps to me are 2 or 3 for 1 points to Kanye's.
Yeah, I would never know because, I just recently found out that Jay-Z helped him write Still D.R.E. So I was like, what?
Jay-Z did?
Yeah, Jay-Z helped him write fucking D.R.E.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was nice. So I was like, what the hell? I
mean, Eminem wrote half of 2001.
So at that point, it's like, okay, well, you know, I can't rate bar for bar because I don't know who wrote these fucking bars.
Well, that's the problem with being in the studio. Like, you don't really know who did that work. Because, like, I'm sure Kanye's gotten help. Like, I know he helped write, like, a lot of Lupe Fiasco shit.
Oh, yeah, I know. Rhymefest wrote a lot of Kanye's raps.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the same thing. Like, I'm not going to go for bar, but I will say artists, when you have like their credits accredited to them as a song, repertoire. Kanye just has it hit for hit for hit. Quincy Jones, I mean, I don't know him as an artist, so I wouldn't really put him up there.
Yeah, so I was kind of trying to jump into it, because I do remember like growing up, there was some Quincy stuff, but I think I just gave him pure production credit, because I know that there was a point where he was an artist. So... But his production is bar none. I mean, if this was about producers, he'd be number one to me by far.
Yeah.
So like if all of Motown.
If I had to drop someone, I'd drop Quincy Jones and put Prince in there.
You drop for the combo.
For the combo.
Okay. Fair enough. I almost feel sick to my stomach putting Pharrell as 5, but I think Reznor did more for rock than Pharrell did for hip hop.
Yeah, I could agree to that. That's a tough one, but yeah.
I mean, Reznor also did Manson and a couple other people.
Yeah, I mean, just the industrial rock presence.
Right.
I mean, the same way, like, Pharrell brought in a whole new sound and changed hip-hop forever, too.
Really did.
Yeah. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I was watching Drink Champs. I don't know if you ever watched that. It's Noriega's podcast. You know Nori, the super thug?
Yeah.
And he was... talking about, I think it was the one with LL Cool J. And LL was saying, like, how important Nori was to hip-hop because he introduced hip-hop to Pharrell. Because Pharrell was just doing, like, Neptune shit back then.
Yeah.
But that didn't really break through in the hip-hop world. And I was like, bullshit, Nori just got in cheap. I have, like, a gang of shitty tattoos on my body because I see a dope artist. And I'm like, oh, you're going to be a great tattoo artist later. I'll let you practice on me now. Turns out tattooing and drawing are very different. But I feel like that was Nori's approach.
Makes sense.
You know, I was like, I don't think he, like, the Neptunes were going to be fucking, they already had, you know.
Yeah.
Farside and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, when you hit me with that list, I was like, whoa, I wasn't ready to sit here and ponder life.
Yeah.
It was a good list.
Yeah, it was fun. Should we do an update on Skeet Davidson and Kanye?
If you want. I mean, you're so fanboy of the situation. I do not give a flying fuck about either of those guys.
I love it, dude. This is like Gilmore Girls to me.
I'm so like, I don't fucking care, dude. People dying in Ukraine and we're talking about fucking Pete Davidson and Kanye. Like,
yeah.
Get the fuck out of here,
man. Justify why I'm pro-Russia last time? I don't think I did.
What was that saying you said? GFO?
RFO, yeah.
RFO.
Or FRO. I don't know. I don't really know that. So our boy Pete finally responded.
What do you say?
Like, he's saying that he's not going to sit quietly anymore.
I'm going to respond by saying I'm not going to respond.
No, he said he's not going to be quiet anymore.
Okay.
So his response is, I'm going to start responding. And he talked about how, like, he said something at first that was kind of smart-assy, and then Kanye said, oh, so you're out of the mental hospital? And then this fool takes a selfie and is like, yeah, I'm in bed with your wife. Burn.
So say burn!
Like, roast. He took control of the conversation right there, right?
Yeah.
And then he kind of just goes on to, like, he really checks him in this conversation, and Kanye is the one who posted it. But he talks about how, like, excuse me, sorry, thinking. He says, like, oh, you know, Kim's the best mom, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm not going to let you keep bad-mouthing her. But what he does get into is, like, you know, I've stopped comedians from talking shit about you because I didn't want the father of my girl's kids to be disrespected in public. I stopped Saturday Night Live from doing skits about you because I didn't want these issues. And he goes, you know what, let's just fucking meet and let's just talk about it, dude. Let's hammer this shit out.
He's right across the street. Come on over.
yeah, right? Didn't you buy the house next door?
Yeah, he bought the house across the street.
So then I guess Kanye had, like, tweeted some shit about, like, not being allowed to see the kids. And then Kim posted, like, dude, shut up with this bullshit. You just picked them up and took them to school. Like, stop with this narrative. So I don't know if that's true or not or whatever. And then, oh, this is where I was trying to get to. The who's the fucking blonde boxer from YouTube? The Paul brothers?
Oh, yeah, the Logan Paul and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Logan Paul might be the whatever of classy they are. And Jake Paul's the brat, I think.
Oh, yeah, we reached the pinnacle of I don't fucking care. But continue.
Okay. Yeah, I don't either. And that's why I'm so uninformed. But I'm telling you, dude, this is like, dude, do you remember I wasted like 4 years of my life watching World Star?
Oh, we all did.
This is my new World Star.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, like, that
makes everything make sense now.
Yeah, so Jake Paul goes, I'll give you each $30 million for 6 rounds. And so he's like offering Pete Davidson and Kanye to fight for $30 million each. We should reach out to Jake. Let's create a fake beef, dude, me and you. Right? Well, let's not talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. But say we did.
Yeah.
We should create a fake beef, dude.
And get paid by Jake Paul?
Get it at the Jake Paul's level. Yeah. And then I'll take a dive. I don't give a fuck.
I'll take that dive into my $30 million.
Yeah, dude.
Dive right in.
Million, dude. And you know what we'll do? We'll cut him a discount, dude. We'll do it for 50, 25 each, out the door, no pay-per-view.
And it has to be on WorldStar.
It has to be on WorldStar?
Yeah.
Dude, I would love to be on World Star one day.
We're bringing it back.
Yeah. No, we're bringing it black.
Oh, God.
So,
oh, no. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad for the update. I'm glad they're doing well. And I hope.
I'm glad they're doing well.
I'm glad they're doing well. They checked in.
You sound like Trump when he found out they got his girl, Ghislaine.
Good for them.
I hope she's doing well.
This is great. Great news. Both sides. Great people.
The both
both sides, great of them. I love it. Picasso, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going through motions.
Anything less in your motions notebook?
Oh yeah.
The crazy world
remember
of motions
we're talking
notebook.
About, yeah. I wanted to revisit. Was it Katora, the Disneyland real estate?
Oh yeah, the Disney community cult shit. Disney cult community.
Did I do this? Yeah, did I do the last week that I would love to see a Real Housewives of Katora?
Oh, no.
I didn't bring that up?
No.
That's a good one, right?
Okay, for one, I fucking hate those shows. But fuck, I would watch the shit out of that, man.
Hell yeah, dude. And then imagine they really like sank into it and they made one look like Jasmine, one look like Belle.
That would be fucking comedy. Oh man, film it like Modern Family and shit.
Dude, yeah, where they get to look to it. Yeah. No, I would never do that. I would do that.
I'd totally do it. That's a great idea, man. Fucking
right?
Cut the check, Hulu. Let's fucking go. That's a great
idea.
I want
to be producer. Oh. I want to be the Ryan Seacrest of this.
Oh. I want to host the reunion show afterwards.
All right. Wait, what are we on time? Because this is going to be a real conversation, but it'll be a fun one.
49.
Okay, cool. We got 11 more minutes with you guys.
We're cruising, guys.
60 minutes of free content, you fucking bitches. All right. Do you have, I was listening, we're talking to friends. about this conversation about like a lie you told, not to like adults, but like peers when you were a kid. Like certain lies that you told that kind of got like out of hand or just went too far and you're just like, fuck, I got to keep this lie up.
Yeah, I told people I was popular. I had to figure that shit out.
Well, if you tell enough people, it becomes true.
Touche.
Yeah, touche. I just remember like there was like 2 years in school when I moved to Arkansas and they're like, you're from LA? And I was like, well, yeah, that's not the lie. But then it was like every question they asked, I just said yes. Like, you ever meet celebrities? Yeah, all the time, man. I was just at Snoop Dogg's house. Like, just shit like that. I just constantly. Have you ever seen Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah, down at the shooting range. He was practicing for Terminator 16. Just like whatever the fuck it was. Anytime they came with me something stupid, I was just like, yeah, sure, yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
It was.
You live such a crazy life. Because I didn't remember them.
Just like our podcast. I don't even, like, I didn't remember what I said last time we talked.
Episode 45? No idea what the fuck happened. Someone let us know. Recap that.
That one was probably about Kanye, too. Our first early dozen episodes were all Kanye episodes, remember? And I don't even know what he was doing back then that we talked about him.
No one does.
I just remember that somebody gave us the criticism. I like it more when you guys talk about Kanye than politics.
Sure, here it is, guys. More Kanye. Here's your next Kanye update. I don't remember who said
that, but I remember that criticism, and I'm pretty sure that person doesn't listen to him anymore.
Good for them.
Yep.
Thanks for stopping by, guys. I'm glad they're doing well. Both sides. Great people.
Oh, fuck. I wanted to say this at the start of the episode. I'm selling my Elko in case anybody.
Oh, hit it up.
Hopefully it was entertaining enough that we got to that.
That's what that sounds like. It sounds fucking amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. This episode wasn't a snoozer, right?
I had a great time. We talked about Batman. We talked about Kanye, the Real Housewives of Disney. Oh, that'd be fucking funny, man. Oh, I'd be fucking so down, so hard. As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you, subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow and get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Mayman Motion, and we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Hey, man, do you think this Russian invasion is anything like the British invasion in the 80s? You think we're going to get some good tunes?
I don't think it's going to work like that.
Like Billy Idol?
No.
She wants more, more, more. That's the British invasion, right? I was really excited about this new music.